Ask Ryan and Bart how to do that. How to choose things. How to react. Two real smart guys will tell you how to do that. How to do that podcast show.
Hey, how'd you like our new theme song there? That was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I'm actually quite impressed that you were able to accomplish the lyric writing for that.
Oh, well, it was mostly this guy on Fiverr. For $5, he'll write a song. For $40, he'll send you a super awesome recording like that. So I would highly recommend checking out this guy, Soulwriter, on Fiverr. Super, super work.
I thought it was pretty good, but I know that you did some lyric editing. So
a little bit, yeah. His original song went, how to do that, how to do that. How to do that, how to do that, how to do that. I'm like, can we change some of those how to do that to some words that, oh, I don't know, aren't how to do that? And then I offer some suggestions.
So. Well, maybe he just didn't have a lot of context into our show.
Perhaps not. Yeah, it's pretty vague. You wrote a song about how to do things. Thanks.
Yeah.
But this is Ryan and Bart coming at you tonight from the Common Interest.
Yeah, a little bit different, less noisy than the normal venue where we have the air conditioner that kicks on every 10 minutes and the traffic from the highway.
Yeah, I-35 within spitting distance of our little makeshift booth. But right now we're in an actual karaoke room, a private karaoke room. And we've spent some time in these rooms in the past.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that... I don't know if I should say, it sounds weird if I say this, but I'm pretty sure our DNA is all over this room.
Oh, God. Yeah, easily. Somebody from our group has been kicked out of or vomited in each of these rooms, I'm sure.
There's probably blood and urine.
But the Common Interest is a great place. I mean, this staff, no doubt, cleans this place really well. So, and we love the Common Interest. We come here all the time. This is the hub for karaoke in Austin, which is already known as a great music city.
Yeah, I've been coming here since I moved here. Well, yeah. with you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we used to frequent quite a few karaoke places, and then the Common Interest kind of became our home base karaoke spot.
Yeah, yeah. We even had a league here, if you can believe it. You can do karaoke leagues where you compete against each other on teams, and well, that's long gone.
Yeah,
but it was fun while it lasted.
Well. You know, now we just do the private room thing, so yeah. It's all good.
Well, welcome to How to Do That. This is the podcast where the two of us sit down and we tell you the answers to all of life's crazy little questions that come up over the course of a day, how to react to certain things that happen, how to interact with other people, and we've got some pretty good topics thought up. But we're going to try to get through a few more this time, spend less time talking about more topics. I think that's what the public wants, right?
Yeah, I think sometimes we spend a little too much time on topics that people care less about.
True. And that hurts viewership.
Listenership.
If you're watching the podcast.
Plus, we're going to make it sound more professional this time because we're gonna crinkle our papers every time before new. Like we're...
Oh, yes.
Like we're actually doing like a news report.
And we do have a paper. We do have a printout, so it'll be easy.
Yeah.
Well, how was your Halloween, by the way? Yesterday was Halloween.
Yeah, I actually forgot it was Halloween yesterday. I did my party on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I was dressed as a giant crocodile.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I saw the pictures. Yeah. That looked like quite the party.
What did you dress up as?
I don't do Halloween. I don't really, you know. Last year I went as a German because I'd just come from Oktoberfest and I had my Lederhosen I'd purchased.
Did you take Johnny trick-or-treating?
I did, yes, yeah. I did. I was that dad who was walking around with a beer and a koozie from house to house. And all the other parents were like, God, I wish I would have thought of that.
Well, it's quite fitting considering during our entire show, every time we just drink buckets of beer. So.
That's true. So, let's start out with some Halloween topics. What do you think? Now that
first, we need to mention our sponsor.
Oh, we sure do. And that's Table.Delivery. This is a restaurant delivery service nationwide. Go ahead and find a restaurant that you'd like food delivered from. And when you find that restaurant, just go ahead and enter the coupon code SWEETUMS at checkout for $10 off your delivery. There's no minimum. Again, that website is table.delivery. The coupon code is SWEETUMS, and that's for $10 off.
And that's SWEETUMS.
Sweet.
All right. So we're going to go into the first topic, which is along the Halloween lines, and that is post-Halloween.
Yeah.
After, now that Halloween's over. I mean, it's officially the first.
It's November. Happy November.
Halloween is done. I know it's disappointing, but the first topic is how to know when you should take down your Halloween decorations.
Boy, yeah, I have one pumpkin out. That was our decorations.
That's it? You just have a single pumpkin?
I put one pumpkin out.
You didn't have like a little Happy Halloween sign or vampire hanging?
You know, actually, I do have one of those laser things that shoots like holiday-themed images at our house.
And did you take that stuff down yet? Or is it
well, out? No, I'm going to keep that up because it's so relevant year-round. Like, I can just put the Thanksgiving slide in next.
Oh, it has different slides.
Yeah, yeah. But that pumpkin, the question is, when is it time to take that down?
So, there's a couple things here, because you have Halloween decorations can also be part of Thanksgiving, right? Like pumpkins and gourds and Capricorns and, I don't know, isn't that stuff? Like,
yes,
didn't the pilgrims
yes.
do things with pumpkins?
They did weird things with pumpkins. I mean, they would cut holes in them and
and get the seeds out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when do you think you should take down Halloween? Because I know that you have limited decorations, but let's say you're that house that does up their whole yard. You've got the ghosts and you got the ghouls and you got the, you know, the rip signs and the you know, stuff coming out of the ground and things that attack people. And so when do you know it's time to take those down?
You know, I'm gonna say that the day after Halloween generally is when you should take it down. It's not Halloween anymore. Unless you're getting prepared really advanced for the next Halloween, I think the day after is a good one. But that's not always feasible. Today was a Wednesday. You know, people aren't going to be able to necessarily get out there on a Wednesday when they have to go to work. So I say the weekend after Halloween is a general rule of thumb. It's time to take these things down. But more specifically, we've got a neighbor who put up these really elaborate skeletons. It was like this whole skeleton army, and they were carrying caskets, and there was blood all over them and everything. Now that it's not Halloween anymore, it could begin to scare people.
Well, I would say so, yes.
If somebody walked into the neighborhood on November 18th and saw that in someone's yard, it might frighten them. It's time to take that down.
Yeah, I would say that when you start scaring regular people walking down the street mm-hmm. on a regular basis, it's probably time to get rid of the decorations. Because, I mean, you, like you said, you could have blood dripping in the yard. Someone thinks that you maybe killed someone. Or yeah, it's probably not a good thing to keep those up too long.
Yeah, and
you don't want police coming.
That was something that I wrote about on the blog, was in preparation for Halloween, how to actually pass off a real crime as Halloween decorations. Like, if you actually had a skeleton that you were hiding and waiting to dispose of, I mean, just throw it out in the yard. Hey, it's a Halloween decoration. And then just throw it in the trash after Halloween. But now, on the flip side of that, if you've got decorations in the yard that look really realistic, now all of a sudden, it's like, oh my god, that skeleton out in the yard is like coming out of the ground. Do you think that, is that part of a crime scene?
Well, okay, but hold on a second. What kind of murder did you commit that all you have left is their skeleton?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to speculate.
Like, what would that be that all you have left is a skeleton and you're able to hang it and it looks like a skeleton Halloween decoration?
No. This would have to be one of those ones that's protruding from the ground, like the zombie with his hand sticking out of the grave sort of skeleton. I don't think you could get away with hanging a real one, but maybe you could. I don't know.
Wouldn't there be a smell or something?
I mean, this could be from decades ago. This could be a 30-year-old cold case.
Okay, well, but if you can get away with it for that long, then keep it in your house. if you're able to get away with it for 30 years and then you decide one Halloween, you're like, oh, I'm just going to put this body outside and try and dispose of it finally.
Maybe you're trying to sell the house.
Okay.
Boy, this has gone way off topic here. Mm-hmm.
So our general consensus is the day after Halloween. My consensus is, well, or the weekend after, you said.
I'd say the weekend after, yeah.
My consensus is once people start complaining and the cops show up, it's probably time to take them down.
Yeah, that's the first time you get a complaint or the first time an animal starts eating that pumpkin.
I don't care about complaints. Oh, okay. Screw the neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like the Halloween stuff, maybe that's just, I mean, people put pink flamingos in their yards. You can't have a skeleton in your yard.
Right, yeah.
Maybe you have a pink flamingo skeleton.
Mm.
All right. So next topic, you go ahead.
Yeah,
read that.
So I don't know about you and your wife. You're both in your 30s and probably didn't actually go around with a bucket getting candy from neighbors. But my three-year-old son sure did. And we've got about 2 pounds of candy.
Well, that didn't stop us from buying candy.
Oh, okay.
You know, oh, we have to hand it out to the kids, except we live in an apartment complex and there's no kids to hand it to. Uh-oh. How did we end up with 2 pounds of candy?
Yeah. So how do you know how much candy to eat and how long should you keep it around? Like, Johnny, we're saying, hey, buddy, you can have one piece of candy today. And he chose Skittles yesterday and he ate them right before bed. And then we told him again this morning, like, hey, you've got another candy to choose. And he chose Skittles again and he ate them right away in the morning. I mean, we can do this every single day until like March 14th at this point. I mean, when is the cutoff for that?
Well, so he's choosing it and you think it's going to last till March 14th?
If it was just him eating it, sure.
But you help.
Well, not on this low-carb diet.
Oh, I see.
I did sneak a couple on Halloween. Uh-oh.
So do you siphon some of it off from him?
Yeah, I think the plan here is just to take a few out of his bucket at a time, maybe hand some out to some coworkers, just put them away until, oh, magically a week from now, there's like, oh, your last one, buddy. And hopefully he won't notice that 89 pieces of candy disappeared.
So I say, how to know how much candy to eat. I don't know if, as an adult, if there's a restriction. I would say that, obviously all of us are, as we get older, we're like more conscious of what we're eating. So we go, oh, we probably shouldn't eat that. But if you drink enough and you get wasted and you mm-hmm. come home, that candy starts to look pretty darn good. Mm. And I'm pretty sure I could put away a pound of candy.
Yeah.
If I'm hammered and I come home one night and I'm like, man, I want some candy. I could put away a pound of candy.
Uh-huh.
So mine probably wouldn't last that long anyways.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let me think, though. I think I heard a report yesterday. I think it was actually from Time Magazine that said, you should eat it all at once. It should be a binge. It's better for your health to eat it all at once than it is to spread
it out.
That's
probably true, because it's not like you're not getting your body used to having that sugar rush every day.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, it's really good for your teeth, too. Well, it's better for your teeth to eat it all at one time, because you're... the decay can only build up so much at once. So you eat it all at once, then brush your teeth and it's gone. If you have a little bit every day, it's going to build up worse and worse over time. So from a dental perspective, I think you should eat all the candy the first day and then just kind of throw it out.
See, that's interesting because usually don't they say too much of something is never a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of opposite of what we're saying in this, which is too much of all or doing it all at once is a good thing
yeah.
and trying to spread it out over time is not a good thing.
Right.
But I agree with you. I think it's best to just binge it, which is why I would go out drinking one night with my buddies and then come home and go, hey, I've got a whole bucket of candy.
Yeah. Another thing I like, too, is you eat as much as you can until you projectile vomit it out.
Yeah, because you're definitely not going to re-eat that.
Yeah, you had the fun of eating it, but once it's inside of you, it's not really fun anymore. Don't you want it out?
I have had a friend, though, that I've seen vomit at a party, and then he re-ate his vomit.
Wow.
I've seen that.
It must have been a really delicious thing that he had eaten.
No, I think it was more of, he thought he needed it bad to not have the hangover in the morning.
Oh.
But I would just continue to puke while I was trying to eat. It would be a non-stop vomit fest. wouldn't you feel the same way? If you puked... And you started to eat your puke. Like, right now it's making me sick even thinking about it.
Yeah, sorry, listeners. speaking of which, I had a friend at a party in college named Jake who did a beer bong with vodka in it. And he vomited back into the bong and then bonged that, too. Sorry, people.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Boy, these have gotten off topic.
All right.
The decorations one went to murder. The candy one went to vomit.
So the main thing is you want to try and get rid of it as fast as possible, however you can.
Yes.
All right. So I'll read the next one. How to justify ordering pumpkin spice anything after Halloween, because, you know, that's a big thing. Everybody goes, oh, it's Halloween time, pumpkin spice.
Mm-hmm.
They got lattes, they got alcohol, they have pumpkin spice alcohol.
Yep.
Like little, like, you know, like an eggnog type, it's not eggnog, but it looks like eggnog to me. So everything comes in pumpkin spice. So how do you know, or how to justify ordering it after Halloween?
well, these Starbucks and Caribou type places aren't going to take these items off the menu. It's going to be available to you, so it's going to be really hard. If you like those things, you're just
How long do they keep them on the menu for?
I think until the Christmas.
Do they?
I think until like the peppermint stuff takes over. Mm. So I think you can get it all of November.
Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense because of Thanksgiving. Although I don't know what the pumpkin... There's no pumpkin spice Thanksgiving anything. Shouldn't it be like a turkey latte and a gravy latte? And a cranberry latte?
I would love a gravy latte. That sounds great.
Well, it'd just be gravy in a cup.
Yeah, okay. With some caffeine.
That sounds delicious, actually.
Yeah. I think you just change the branding a little. Pumpkin pie, which is a... Thanksgiving tradition.
Oh, that's true.
Boy, I don't know if this holds much water here. I mean, this pumpkin spice thing is totally a Thanksgiving thing.
I'm sick of people who like pumpkin spice, to be quite honest. I hate it. I hate those people.
Wow.
So, like, my favorite dessert, period, because I'm not a big dessert person, but except I like candy. But my biggest thing with dessert is I love a pumpkin pie, like you said, on Thanksgiving.
Mm.
A lot of people usually don't have it. It's usually like... apple pie or some kind of something else, but I always try to convince people to get the pumpkin pie. And if they relabeled pumpkin spice pumpkin pie, mm-hmm. I might order things more often, but because it says pumpkin spice, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, that's angering. Damn those people. Yeah, our waitress here at Common Interest, they're so prompt and courteous and attentive. She just came over and looked in our karaoke window and asked, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, we have a little it's like a portal on a ship.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I've seen you try to tantalize people through that portal.
I have,
before.
God, I was really drunk.
Well, anyway, off topic again.
Yeah, I guess, so how to justify ordering pumpkin spice anything? I think it's totally justifiable. I don't think you need to, if you like it, go for it. Especially if you're in the drive-thru. Nobody else can hear you but you and the barista. Just go for it.
But if you know what? If I want it, when I order it from now on, I'm going to say, because even though it's going to be at Starbucks or wherever it's at, it's going to say the pumpkin spice latte.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go, I'll have the pumpkin pie latte.
Oh.
And when they go, oh, you want the pumpkin spice latte? I'll say pumpkin pie. And I'm going to force that order down. And then when people ask me what I'm drinking, I can say the pumpkin pie latte.
There you have
it. I'm going to change the world by ordering pumpkin pie from now on.
And you were the guy who convinced Wendy's to start selling spicy chicken nuggets, weren't you? So you could change this.
You know what? They don't sell them. They just stopped selling them after what? Like 15? How long have they been doing that? 15
They're gone?
Years? Yeah. But Burger King now is capitalizing on that, and they have them. They have a 10-pack for $1.50.
No shit.
It's delicious.
Okay.
I'm telling you, they're just as good, if not better, than the Wendy's ones. Sorry, Wendy's. And, you know, like... I'm sorry, but you guys stopped serving them, so I'm a little bitter. And I am the guy who left the message on your voicemail machine back in, it would have been 2004, probably, 2003, that I left that message about spicy chicken nuggets at Wendy's.
And then shortly thereafter, they came out with it, and you thought that you deserved credit, but they never gave it to
you.
Yeah,
I emailed them about it. They didn't even offer me, like, free spicy chicken nuggets for life, which is all I would have wanted. And then I went ahead and... called them about doing a spicy chicken Caesar salad, which they still do serve to this day. And that is because I one time put, I accidentally got a pack of Caesar dressing in my spicy chicken sandwich. And I went, yeah, screw it. I'm going to put it on the sandwich. And I was like, man, this is freaking good. So then I ordered a Caesar salad. I would order a Caesar salad and a spicy chicken sandwich. And then I'd basically just combine them. So I said, you guys need to have a spicy chicken Caesar salad. And now they have it. Well,
they already had all the ingredients. All they had to do is just give you different things.
Yep. And I used to actually go to the Wendy's headquarters and do taste testing for them. I don't know if you knew that.
I had no idea. But that was in Columbus, Ohio? Is that
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah. Dublin, Ohio is actually where it is. But it's a suburb of Columbus. And they used to bring out the college kids. They'd pay them like $20 to come out for an hour and taste food for free.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yep. So anyways, Wendy's, if you hear me, reach out.
So you just got done binge watching the phenomenon Stranger Things 2, is that correct?
This is not a phenomenon. It is an amazing show.
Oh.
It is unbelievable.
It has a wide following, not even just a cult following. It's just it's a following.
Oh, you know, like I was looking for that gap after Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And this has filled that void for me.
Mm.
It's so good. And I know right now, I've seen all of season two, and obviously we're not going to talk about it because of spoilers.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
That's the first topic, is how do you avoid spoilers?
Are we spoilers specifically for Stranger Things 2 or just in general?
Because it can apply to anything in general, but right now the biggest topic is obviously a lot of people at work and stuff are talking about Stranger Things, and I know that you've had some incidences where you're trying to avoid that.
Yeah, so. this actually just came up, I think, either Monday or Tuesday at the office, because I haven't seen Stranger Things 2. I watched the first one, but I haven't seen the second one yet, and here's why. I watched the first one by myself, and my wife did not get a chance to see it. And normally we watch TV together. So when am I going to get the chance to sit down and binge watch a whole other series in 1 or 2 days by myself? She wants to see the first one, of course, before we start the second one, and she hasn't. So anyway.
Wait, so you're totally finished with the first one?
I saw the first one. I binge watched the first one last year right when it came out, but I haven't had the chance to do this one yet. And at work on Monday, people were, of course, talking about it, and I'm like, hey, I haven't seen it yet. So, oh, okay, sorry, we'll talk quietly. Excuse me.
Well, you know what I'll tell you about that is, I didn't go back and watch one, but I kind of wish I did. So you should binge watch it with your wife, the first one.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of references back to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Not a spoiler, because there's no, I'm just saying there are references. So it's better, I think, to watch the first one again before the second one, because now I want to go back and watch the first one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I missed connections.
That makes sense, yeah. I had a coworker. Who apparently there's some reference to a heater in one of the final episodes. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, but let's not talk about it.
Yeah, anyway. he's like, hey guys, the heater in my office made a cameo in the show. Come and look. And apparently he had the same one under his desk that was in the show or something. I don't know, but to me that was already too much. I'm like, now I know that there's some stupid heater that's going to give away the whole thing. Damn you.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's going to give away the whole thing, but I thought you were going to get into it more than
that. No, that's all I know. But now I know that the heater has something to do with the plot.
So how to avoid spoilers, don't listen to this podcast. Just kidding. We're not. But no, I think, so for me, I know I've had this problem a lot because, and not with Stranger Things because I did watch it right away, but with other shows, I've had it where, like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and things like that, where I just don't have time to watch all these dang shows. And when they come out on TV, they have a lot of commercials. And so I usually wait, like, especially for Walking Dead, until it gets to, like, Netflix so that I can watch it. And so I'm always a season behind.
Mm-hmm.
And to avoid the spoilers is very difficult. I think the best way to avoid it is to basically just cover your ears constantly, like with earmuffs or earplugs. And then before you listen, you check. You just pull one out and you listen and you go, are they talking about it? Nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they start talking about it, pop it back in.
And that's a great idea. Actually, I find that the spoilers come to me even more in print or online.
Oh!
And I'll see something on Facebook and I'll immediately just have to tab out of it. Or I'll go to an article and they start talking about a spoiler. And most articles, thankfully, are kind enough to say spoiler alert nowadays.
Yeah, it is tough because Facebook's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
How do you avoid it on Facebook? What do you do there? Do you just, if you see something that resembles it, do you scroll past it? Or do you, like, how do you avoid that?
I will probably just close the tab altogether. I don't want to risk it getting stuck or something in the middle of it. Actually, I was a bad person once. What year did The Office...
You were a bad person once?
One time when it came to spoiling something. What year did The Office end? Was it like 2012 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
So as soon as that episode ended, I made a comment like, I'm so excited, you guys. Jim and Pam are moving to Austin. Maybe they'll be my neighbors.
A
bunch of people were like, oh, thanks a lot, Glanzer. We haven't seen it yet.
So you were you were the guy.
Yeah, I was that guy once, and I learned my lesson. You just don't do it. And hopefully most people by now know not to spoil things.
Because the other thing I was going to say is pick better Facebook friends that are aware of this.
Yeah.
But then you would have been blocked on mine. Because obviously you're not aware.
If you need to spoil something, Twitter is the place for you, because people like to talk about these things in real time on Twitter. Just avoid Twitter for like an hour after your favorite show ends.
Well, nobody uses Twitter anymore, so it's...
Oh, I do.
I'm just kidding. All right, so, and then the other one is, how do you binge watch Stranger. Yeah, so like when you did you binge watch the first one?
I watched the first one, yeah.
And was it binge watchable? Did you do the binge watch on the first one or did you kind of do it over time?
You know, I was actually able to binge watch it all in one day because I was legitimately sick from work.
And so that's how you binge watched it.
It was like 8 to 10 days after it had come out and it was just starting to gain some traction. Like, hey, you guys, the Stranger Things thing has taken off. And I was really sick and it was the summer and I stayed home that day and binge watched it from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and then it was done.
So for me, I think it's you just get food poisoning.
Yeah.
And then you're on the toilet for 8 hours and then you can binge watch it, right? Because you're going to be pooping for 8 hours, so yeah. You might as well do something. And
have you ever stayed up all night, like in the middle of the night, to binge watch something when it was newly released?
Not Stranger Things.
No.
That's scary.
Oh.
I get nightmares. I don't want to. Man, there's some stuff in that that just freaks me out. I don't know about staying up all night. I did do it with Breaking Bad. But Breaking Bad didn't scare me. Some people watch it and they say it scared them. But
really?
Yeah, that
scary.
Didn't.
Scary. I don't.
That didn't scare me. So for me, I was like, whatever, I can stay up all night and binge watch this. But yeah, I miss. Honestly, at the time, I was working for this startup, and they had kind of a work-from-home option every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
I exercised that for at least 2 weeks straight while I caught up on that, because I was way behind.
Yeah.
I wanted to I don't know if you remember at the time, but I wanted to catch up so that I could see the final episode live, and it was 2 weeks later, so I had to basically just power through it.
I do remember, because that was you and I kind of dressed together for Halloween 2013 as Walter White and Jesse Pinkman, right?
That's right. I forgot about that.
That was right about when the finale had aired.
I was like a chubby Jesse Pinkman.
I actually pulled off a pretty good Walter White. I had the goatee.
You looked good, yeah. Me, though, I was like, I needed to do more meth. So that I lost the weight.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I was doing the meth candy, and that just made me get bigger.
Yeah. The only thing I've successfully binge-watched, like, when it first came out, I think staying up overnight had to have been when Netflix released Arrested Development, the fourth season, which ended up kind of sucking, I thought.
Yeah, I did the same thing, because, you know what? I feel like Netflix did a good job with that, because it wasn't quite as good, but it had this, like, tantalizing, it's gonna be good, and so you were forced to almost keep watching it, because you didn't want to think that it wasn't as good. And so yeah, I did binge watch that one. I think overnight. I think I was up to like 6 or 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I finished it and went, that wasn't quite as good.
No.
Oh well.
And then the third thing I wanted to mention about Stranger Things is how if I were to try to binge watch this second season, it would probably upset my wife, because she likes to watch shows with me. She wants to be on the same page. And for me to like go ahead and watch the second season without her, now she's 2 seasons behind. She's gonna be upset. How can I do this? How can I pull it off?
There's a couple ways. One, you could tell her that you have a mental handicap of some type, that it's hard for you to retain information and that you need to watch things 2 times.
Mm.
So then you could say, I need to watch this now, and then I'll watch it with you again. And that second time, I'll actually retain everything.
That's quite true for me, actually. Probably will need to watch it twice.
And then the other thing you could do is just lie.
You know me, though. I can't keep a secret to save my life. If she said, hey, look, Netflix is showing that this episode's already played. Have you seen this? No.
Oh, that's when you just get a credit card she doesn't have access to, open a separate Netflix account for a month, and then watch it. And then
cancel,
delete the account. Except you have to be very conscious when you're watching it together that you don't go, oh, you got to watch this part.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, she's going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You obviously watch this without me.
Yeah. I do struggle with this all the time. Like, there's movies I want to watch. And like, I really want to watch this. And she doesn't want to. And as soon as she goes to bed, I watch it anyway. And then she finds out I watched it.
Well, here's the other thing you can do. Set a calendar up. And you can say, at this time, we're going to watch Stranger Things, whether you're there or not.
Mm.
And then if she don't show up, you just watch it.
Okay.
That's what I would.
That's a fair way
that's,
to do
that's
it.
That's a fair way to do it. You say, hey, what are you doing Tuesday night? Oh, nothing. Okay, Tuesday at 7 o'clock, I'm going to start Stranger Things 2. And if you're not here, then you're missing, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry this sounds so threatening, but we're going to have fun, I swear.
We're going to have a great time. Oh, man. Well, along that line, with binge watching and watching movies and watching anything... There's a big one that I'll let you read this one because I think I read the last two. So.
Well, have you ever been in a movie theater, or is this strictly movie theaters, or is this just any movie in general?
I think it's any show, movie, anything, okay. Anywhere. Like, wherever you're at and you're watching, I think it's more along the lines of watching something, but I guess if, you know, I wouldn't say like at a family event or funeral or anything like that, because it's different, but go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, yeah, the question was how to cry in a manly way while watching a movie.
Right.
And I wasn't sure if you were confined to the theater, because if that was the case, then it's easy. It's like, it's dark. Who's going to see you? But...
Well, people can still see you. It's... I don't know. My friend Jeff, this is kind of the reason this came up. He told me he went to go see a movie. And he goes by himself a lot, because he has the movie pass. And he's a FedEx employee, so he usually is driving on the weekends, but then has like time during the week off, so he'll go see a movie by himself.
Okay.
And the movie pass is that Netflix thing that's like $10 a month, but you can go to like any movie or whatever.
Oh, okay.
All month. Nice. So he said he was in a movie recently, and he sat down, and he was next to this like other big dude who looked like a pretty manly man, and he started to tear up at one point, and he's like, oh my gosh, how do I hide this from this guy?
So Jeff started to tear up?
Jeff!
Really?
I couldn't believe it, because I didn't think he was that kind of guy, to be quite honest. But see, here's why we're talking about this.
He puts on such an act all the time. But
he's a manly guy.
He's a teddy bear, this one.
And so he said what he did was he, like, would dip down, like he was looking down at his phone, kind of, and then, like, wipe the tear away like he was looking at his phone. But then he looks like the asshole that's looking at his phone in the theater, but at least he was able to kind of wipe his tears without them necessarily seeing. So what would you do, though? Like, what?
I have a great answer for this.
All right.
And it works out great in Austin, too. Oh, these damn allergies. Oh. Oh.
But you would vocally say that in the middle of a movie?
Yes.
In a theater.
If I started crying out under my breath, be like, oh, these damn allergies. Cedar fever, man. Oh. Sorry, I'm so sorry.
But it's during the crying part. Don't you think they would notice that?
Well, maybe if you think that there might be a crying part in this movie that you're going to see, maybe you should start acting before it ever gets to any of those scenes, just in case. Like, right from the opening credits, like, oh.
Just, like, sneeze a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just mask it with allergies. That's what I do.
Well, they have that saying about magicians where they can... This is a weird thing to say, but like, have you ever seen the movies where like the whole reason the magician is so good is because they put on an act all the time?
Mm.
So you'd be that guy that from the time you walk into the theater to the time you walk out, you have fake allergies.
Yes.
If you think there's going to be a crying scene.
I have another idea too. If that doesn't work, if you actually start crying and you hadn't prepared the allergy routine, here's what you do. When you're really crying, you go, oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I'm so sad. You just
play it up like fake.
You fake. You're really crying, but you're pretending like you're faking, which is a hard act to pull off. But
that's good. I like that. That's actually because that happened to me before, but not by me. But it was I was in a theater in Orlando, and we were watching one of the Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire and James Franco, and there's like an end scene where James Franco like saves him or something, and he's like dying, and then he's crying. Well, when he's crying, all these big masculine dudes that were in there, they all just started going, I knew they were sad, though.
Yeah.
They were laughing. They were acting like they were laughing, but I know they were sad because I was tearing up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Tobey Maguire with James Franco, but I still teared up a little bit, and I know they were too, and I think they were just laughing it off.
So have you cried at a movie recently?
I cry during a lot of movies, even ones that I've seen, like Rudy. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Every time. I don't care. I've seen it 100 times. Every single time I start to tear up. I go, ooh, Rudy. And my wife is unfortunately much more masculine than I am. And so she doesn't cry during a lot of these situations. And so I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm kind of like looking at the screen trying to look like I'm not crying, but I'm a sensitive man, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So for me, it's tough. I don't know how to avoid the, or how to look like I'm crying in a manly way. I think usually I just get up and go make popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Like if I'm at home. In a theater, you know, I just kind of look away from the person I don't want to see me.
Uh-huh. You know what movie I cried during, which I'm very embarrassed to admit here today?
Oh, God.
at the end of Aaron Brockovich, where Albert Finney like gives her a check for $1 million for like her hard work on the
PG, you just spoiled it,
PG&E case. Oh, people have had 16 years to see that damn movie.
I haven't seen it. Look at this. I'm gonna block you on Facebook now.
When he gives her that check at the end of the movie, I was like, I found myself like a tear streaming down my eye. I'm like, God, I can't be crying. I can't be seen crying during Aaron Brockovich of all movies.
Yeah, it's if you cry during a Julia Roberts movie as a man, that's a tough sell.
I also cried during that Seinfeld, the second to last Seinfeld, where it was like a clip show right before the finale.
Oh, and when they did Time of Your Life?
Yes. At the end of that, oh, I was so teary-eyed.
Yeah, that is a good, actually, even now, when I watch The Office, because I watch it on like constant repeat since I work from home, so I need to have a fake office going on in the background.
Good idea.
It works because it's like you're in an office, but it's funny, and you don't have to really pay attention because you've already seen all the episodes. But when Andy, when he leaves and he does his little song,
yeah,
with the guitar, and he's leaving the office, I can't even remember that song. I will remember you, or whatever. No, that's not it. Is that it?
I feel like it was.
Yeah, okay, that might have been it. So that, I tear up every single time. Luckily, I'm at home alone, and all that's there is a cat and a dog looking at me. But I don't care about Pierre Manley in front of them. So.
Well, they'd look at you differently.
They probably do. They're embarrassed to be my pets.
On to the next thing. It's November now, so you know what that means. Everybody's favorite charitable
November.
Cause. Yep. And you and I both have beards, so we could easily participate in Movember just by shaving the beard part off.
Well, you know that my beard started because of that.
Did it?
Wow. Yes. That was the first... I said, I'm going to try growing it for Movember. Huh. And that's what happened, because I thought it would come in kind of peach fuzzy. It didn't turn out too bad. It was a little peach fuzzy.
Oh. Okay.
But then now it's a little bit more full. I just can't shave off too much, or then it'll take a while for that part to grow back.
Yeah. I hate the way I look without a beard, like very baby faced or whatever. So I'm just not going to shave the beard part, but maybe I could. Well, the question anyway was, I got off topic. How do you participate in Movember if you can't grow facial hair? And I know a few guys, unfortunately for them, they really want to grow a beard and it just never works out for them. You get a little patch here and there or nothing at all.
But well, it's really about the mustache.
Yeah.
Part of it. So if you can't grow the mustache, there's a couple ways. One is that you make a funny daily Instagram about how terrible your Movember mustache is going in, because that helps the charitable cause, because every day you're posting about it.
Uh-huh.
And if you hashtag it, that's good. So that would be the thing I would say. What would you say?
Well, I have a friend who would like to participate in Movember, who can't really grow facial hair very well, but he always shaves it off very quickly because it comes in such weird patches. I think, in his instance, he should just not shave the mustache for the month and see what happens. Maybe nothing comes in.
You mean he shaves it during the month?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm saying this normally, just throughout the year, will shave regularly
because his
facial hair grows in so poorly. But I'd say for November, let's just grow it out. Even if nothing comes in, you're still participating, technically.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if one little hair grew underneath your nose, that's participating. That's Movember.
Yes, I would agree. I think that one's a pretty easy one to answer. It's just, you try.
Yeah, you can always, you know, come up with a fake mustache, draw one on.
And who cares if you look like an idiot for a month? It's for a good cause.
So. Right, right.
I tried it. It worked out for me. I grew it in better than I thought.
Mm.
But yours is definitely a lot fuller. Mm. I like yours.
Oh, thanks.
All right.
So, just a reminder that How to Do That is brought to you by 188th Street Creations of Carpenter, South Dakota. Just ask Marcy and Jordan on Facebook on their 188th Street Creations page for a state outline creation. They'll give you 20% off. That offer is still good through the whole month of November. So, it makes a great Christmas present. I've seen Marcy's Colorado cutout. Wyoming cutouts, they are perfect rectangles. You would never know. So go ahead and check them out on Facebook for 20% off.
Wait, what did you say was perfect rectangles?
My mother's state cutout of Colorado and Wyoming.
Sorry, I was getting a beer over there. I just kind of heard you as I came in, but That's good. I'm glad they can make squares.
Yeah.
Or rectangles. Rectangles.
So the next topic we wanted to talk about was one that I did on the blog this week. If you go out to howtodothat.co, and I'm sure that you're all following along with the blog closely on Facebook and Twitter, I wrote about the doctor's exam room, because I was at a doctor's office on Monday for a shoulder thing. I've got this pinched nerve thing going on, and I was sitting in the exam room for quite a while. It seemed like, okay, maybe they forgot about me. You know, I want to know, how long do you sit in a doctor's exam room before you either get up and leave or say something?
Do you have a thought on it first, or do you want me to?
Well, I've delved into a lot of different theories on the blog, which you can read about. But the one that I actually subscribe to is I give it an hour. For me, it's 1 hour. And then I start making some
noise. Exactly an hour? Do you set an alarm?
No, I mean, give or take an hour. Like, when you're sitting in there, it's pretty easy to keep track. Like, it's been 57 minutes and 30 seconds.
Now, is this an hour from the time you signed the little sheet when you came in, or is this an hour from the time you actually sat?
An hour since the nurse left the room.
The nurse left the exam room.
The exam room. So I've been sitting there for 57 minutes.
You are a much more patient man than I am.
I was very impatient. I was sweating. I was fidgeting. I went through every cupboard in that damn room. There was cotton balls, and there was tongue depressors, and there was rubber gloves, and that's all there was to look at.
I think you should send a message. I think you should take a dump all over their table and be like, I've been waiting in here for an hour, and part of the problem was that I had a poop issue, and I needed help, and look what's happened. Now you have to deal with it firsthand. If you would have just came in here half an hour ago, there wouldn't be poop on that table. And then guess what? Next time, you're probably going to get seen pretty quick.
I wish I would have thought of that. In the heat of the moment, though, what I actually did, though, is I finally opened the exam door, and I just kind of stuck my head out, looking around up and down the hallway. I caught a glimpse of a nurse and made sure that she made eye contact with me.
And then she thought you were just creepy.
Yeah, it's like, I wanted to make sure that I hadn't been forgotten. Went back to the room. I mean, you start making noises. I start coughing really loud.
Have you thought about walking out of the exam room completely nude into the middle of their nursing area where they're all waiting around, and you just walk out there nude and you go, I'm ready for my exam.
I thought about that. Another thing that really crossed my mind was calling the front desk for my cell phone and pretending like I was a different patient and asking how long like a walk-in appointment would take. And if they were like, oh, the doctor's free right now, I'd be like, aha! I knew it!
That's a good one, actually. I would do that, too. You call the front desk, and then you say, hey, what is the average wait time for your... And then when they go, oh, it's only like 20 minutes, you go, I've been waiting for an hour! I pooped everywhere in this room, and I'm naked!
Somebody else commented on that article, and they had a pretty good response. And it was really right along your lines. It was like, all you have to do is fart. That's right when the doctor's going to walk in. Like, if you sit there for 42 minutes and he doesn't come in, all you do is fart. And just your luck, right at that moment, that's when old Dr. Klein is going to stroll on in and like, oh, dear God.
Have you thought about knocking on the door from the other side, like, just constantly until someone answers? Like, you just keep knocking like you're waiting for someone to answer the door?
I didn't think of that.
That would be pretty freaking annoying if you're on the other end of that door. You're like, why is there a knocking sound coming from one of these patients? And then you go, yes, sir, what can I help you with? I've been waiting for an hour. I just thought maybe I should knock.
Or maybe you say, it wasn't me. I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
I'm pretty sure they might know at that point. Especially if you're naked and pooped everywhere in the room.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because obviously the waiting thing, like for me, how long do I wait? I'll probably wait half an hour, and then a lot of times I'll come out and say, where's the doctor at? But
yeah,
and that's great. But what do you do when you're in there? Like, when you're sitting there waiting for an hour, what were you doing for that whole hour?
I was on my phone. You know, they had three magazines there. There's a Red Book, some sort of like country living magazine.
Red Book. Oh God. Country. I didn't even know that it still existed.
Yeah.
Sorry, Red Book.
Oh, sorry. A country living, like, I don't know if it was like Country Home and Gardens. It had like country recipes and stuff like that. And then there was like this Spanish parenting magazine.
Oh my gosh.
So there was really nothing to look at. There wasn't even like anything manly in there at all.
Do you ever try to, like, I don't know if this room had one, but did it have a computer in it?
It did, yeah, and it was one of those computers that I moved the mouse and it just gave me some login screen that I couldn't get past.
So what you should do is try and figure out online, like, how to hack it and get to, not hack it, but get out of the login screen to get to regular Windows, and then pull up, like, a game and just be playing it when they walk in on their computer, because that would probably piss them off, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you were able to get a game up on their computer, they'd be pissed.
Or impressed.
Or impressed. Or yeah. What you could do is take their entire computer apart, like pull the tower out, unplug everything, and then when they come in and you go, oh, I'm sorry, I was bored, so I was just looking inside this computer.
Just bring a little screwdriver with you, a utility knife, so you can get into all those things.
Yeah. Any way you can piss them off, I think, at that point. So I guess the doctor's exam room is you would wait an hour. I'd probably wait maybe 30 minutes max. I'm sure there's some people that have waited longer. If you got nothing to do, you're retired and there's nothing to go to.
I spoke to someone who actually enjoys it when it takes a long time because, hey, I got out of work. I have a legitimate excuse for not being at work.
That's a good point.
It's like the only quiet time that they get during a week. They're like, I'm going to enjoy this. I hope it takes 4 hours. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take a nap.
That's how I feel when I go to the bathroom. That's why everybody goes, oh, why does it take you 45 minutes to take a dump? Because it's the only quiet time I get, and I can take a nap.
Or take a nap?
Well, yeah. What, you've never pooped and slept?
No.
You can't sleep and poop?
I've never tried.
I can sleep and poop.
Wow.
I can, like, half fall asleep, and then turds will fall out while I'm sleeping. And then I wake up and go, oh, good job.
Wow, I'm really glad, I'm really glad I know that now.
Yeah, next time I'm at one of your parties and I'm in the bathroom for 45 minutes, you'll have to wake me up.
I will.
All right. Well, I love this. Mr. Glanzer has added a awesome section to this, and I really like this. So why don't you tell him what it is?
Well, I wish I could take full credit for thinking of it myself, but a coworker did point this out to me, that if you just start typing into Google, like, how do I, or how to do, and it'll start auto-populating. And we thought, wouldn't it be funny if we just went on to Google and started typing this and then just answered whatever questions came up? So we're going to do a couple of these and just see what comes up, and we'll pick something funny off the list. And we have no choice but to address it. So here I go. I'm on Google. How to make. Should I say make?
Yeah, let's do how to make.
We've got how to make slime. French toast, fluffy slime.
Fluffy slime? What? How to make fluffy slime? What is that?
I don't know.
How to make slime without glue?
What is up with slime?
Slime
without borax?
Man, I'm really interested in the fluffy slime.
I don't know any of these things, but how to make money? That's one of them. I would probably just try to become employed, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be the number. Or not, you could be a homeless guy that begs for money on the street and make money that way. But the making fluffy slime, I feel like that's an interesting one. Let's see, what does Google have to say about fluffy slime?
Well, apparently you just need a container with shaving cream.
This is a thing!
It's glue and shaving cream, that's all.
How to make slime, and then in parentheses it says fluffy slime. Pour enough glue into the bottom of a container to cover the bottom. Add food coloring if desired. I would desire that.
Mm-hmm.
Mix food coloring into glue. So two of these steps, if you don't need a food coloring, you're good. You just delete them.
Uncolored for me.
Add about 1.5 times as much shaving cream as glue. Again, this is not an exact science, so don't worry.
I'm not worried.
We're going to have to make slime sometime. Mix together the glue and shaving cream. That's it? It's just glue and shaving cream?
That's it, apparently. Wow.
They could have just skipped all that and said, just put glue and shaving cream together.
I made fake snow using a very similar recipe once with shaving cream and, I think, baking soda and something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's do one more of these. Do how to put.
Okay.
Let's try that. How to put.
How to put a tampon in. How do you do that, Bart?
I don't know. I asked my friend Jeff.
Boy, all these things are for women. How to put on eyeshadow, how to put on eyeliner, how to put on makeup, how to put on fake eyelashes.
No, I like this one. How to put out a grease fire.
Oh.
That is usable.
You pour a bunch of water on it, right?
I don't think so. Before we look this up, I think I know what it is.
What?
I think it's baking soda.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Click on it. Let's see what it says. I'm curious now.
I feel like you can cover one up too, right? This one says, if you're unable to extinguish the fire,
it says, get out. You and your family members are important.
Well, WikiHow is our direct competitor, and they're taking business away from us, but they say you need to...
Oh, snuff the fire.
Snuff it out with a lid. Okay.
Keep going.
That was my suggestion.
Whatever. Keep going. Baking soda.
Dump baking soda.
Dang it. Yours came up first.
And avoiding bad procedures. Do not dump a bucket of water on it, a la Jesse Pinkman dumping the water on the generator
that has started
on fire, and then you'll get stuck in the desert. Boy, Breaking Bad's coming up a lot here today.
Hey, okay, let's try one more. Let's do, because we were talking about the cry topic earlier.
Okay.
Type in how to cry, and let's see what comes up for how to cry.
How to cry on command.
On demand, on the spot. How to cry it out. How to cry less. How to cry blood.
Wow. I don't want to do that.
How to cry yourself to sleep. How to cry in Spanish. Oh my gosh.
I would envision most languages, the crying is, it translates.
Wait, how to cry in Ponytown? What is that?
I don't know. A game of ponies building a town. Oh, there's probably some, like, skill of crying.
Oh, okay.
But it seems like the most popular one is to cry on command. How would you do that? Would you think of something really sad?
You could put a tack under your heel in your shoe. And then, like, well, this is if you're, like, trying to do it as a party trick. You know, you go to the party and somebody's like, I want you to cry on command. So you put a tack in your shoe and then you just stamp down on it as hard as you can with your heel. I'm probably going to tear up during that. What about you?
Boy, crying on command. I think I could make myself do it, honestly, just by really focusing on crying. Just, like,
Can you do it right now?
Well, probably not.
That's not going to work then.
Okay, no.
Now, if I had to pee really bad, like if I had to pee so bad, that could be a way. You just drink so much, you don't go pee for like a day, and then you'll be crying.
Sure.
Well, that's not on command, though, I guess. It's kind of like you're going to cry the whole next day.
I feel like if you just start weeping and just making the noises and rubbing your eyes, I think tears are going to eventually come out, right?
Well, let's hear your weep. That sounds like laughing to me.
Oh, sorry. A lot of laughter and crying does get confused for each other.
All right. So the Google one was fun, and we'll do more of that because that one seems interesting. And you know what, people? If you're on our Facebook, post some how-to things on Google. Now, don't cheat and look on Google first because I know you're going to do that and give us some weird thing that we're going to look up. Just think of things before you look them up. Post them on Facebook. Say how-to whatever you think that we should type into Google, and we'll try them out.
Okay. Just give us a few letters. Just put some few random letters in there. How do you M-I-L, and then we'll just see what comes up.
That's true. Let's try that right now. Quick. Let's just do it, because we've suggested this, and this was impromptu, and I'm sorry I suggested it.
How to mill...
What is it?
Milk
say?
A cow? Milk a man? Milk a prostate?
Wait, hold on a second. How to milk a man? Why is that the number two most search?
It's about stimulating prostates. Okay,
God. I mean, everyone knows how to milk a man. There's only one udder.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. I like this. Yeah. Give us three letters that could form a word, and we'll see what happens there.
Yes, that's awesome.
All right, next up.
Reader mailbag time. Thank you for these five or six people who sent in questions here today. What's the first one?
So the first one is Jared from Seattle. How do you coax out someone's name at a party after you were just introduced but immediately forgot it?
God, this happens to me all the fucking time.
I think this happens to me all the time, too.
So there's somebody at the party like, hey, this is Jennifer. Oh, hi, I'm Ryan. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, what the hell was her? What was her name again? What was her name? How do you get that name back out of her?
Oh, man. You know, I feel like it's... you gotta coax it out of him. Yeah, that's tough.
And Jared himself answered his own question. He said, here's how I would do it. He said, I would introduce someone else to the person that I just met and be like...
That is a good way, yeah.
Oh, hey, here's my friend Andy, and then just kind of
let her
take it.
This is my wife, you know, blah, 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 meet her, and then, yeah, see what happens.
So she'll be forced to reintroduce herself.
I forgot my wife's name already, see? But The other way is you could always carry in your pocket a pile of name tags and a Sharpie and say, hey, we're going to play a game. I need everyone to put their name on a name tag. And then when it's time to play the game, you go, I'm sorry. I was just messing with you guys. I don't know what the name is. I just wanted everyone to put a name tag on.
The name tag version is nice. I mean, I think a lot of people would appreciate that, too. It's like that Seinfeld episode. Everybody in the building starts wearing name tags. Or Elaine's idea the city was to start wearing name tags.
Yeah.
But I think my answer to this one is I go back up to them later. I'm like, oh, hey, I wanted to add you on Facebook. I want to invite you to this event or something going on.
How do you spell your name? Is that what you do?
Yeah. Can you spell it so I can enter into my phone?
That's
what
genius.
Was it again? She's like, it's JENNIFER. I'm like, oh, okay. Some people spell it with a G. I just checked.
She's like, it's Bob. My name's Bob. Oh, I didn't know if you spelled Bob with a B-O-A-B or a B-O-B. Just needed to make sure.
Well, hopefully Jared will get some answers next time he's at a party.
All right, now let's read the next. Hold on, we got to shuffle papers.
Jeff from Nebraska City, star of Adventures in Pop Culture, who I would highly recommend you check out their YouTube channel, by the way. Jeff asks, how do you buy cheap VHS tapes?
Are there expensive VHS tapes?
I think there might be some collectibles at this point, but I feel like...
Is that what he's asking for?
I think he wants bulk. I think he's looking for like a I think he wants like 250 bulk VHS tapes.
Blank ones?
No, I think real movies.
Oh, of a certain movie? Like, no. Does he want a variety of 250 movies?
Oh, Grandpa's moving out. He's got 200 movies here. He's just going to... nobody buys VHS anymore. He'll sell them to you for 15 bucks or something. How do you...
Yeah, I would say auctions, Goodwill, I don't know, yard sales. You ever go to flea markets?
Rarely.
Have you ever, like, don't go to them here in Texas, but have you been to a flea market in normal states?
I went to one in Sioux Falls, Benson's Flea Market, yeah.
And did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you find bulk VHS tapes?
No, but that back in those days, it was still a medium of choice.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I'd just go on Craigslist and be like, VHS tapes.
I might just ask my friends, like, hey, dude, do you have a VCR anymore? No. Do you have VHS tapes laying around? Yeah. Can I buy them from you? Like 20 bucks for the whole lot? Sure. I bet most people would be happy to sell you.
Yeah, that's a good point. If they don't have the VHS player anymore. By the way, my wife somehow has two DVD VHS combos, which I don't understand why she has two for a single... She was a single woman.
Yeah.
Why do you have two DVD VHS? Like, who convinced you at the store? It's like that 40-year-old virgin where in the movie he's like... It's a dying format, but you should probably have both.
Wait, so she has two individual units, or there's a unit
unit that has both.
Oh, my God.
It has a DVD player and a VHS in it. We have two of them.
Oh, I see.
DVD-VHS combos. Guess what we don't own?
VHS tapes.
A single VHS tape.
Well, I own one, actually. Do you want to know what it is?
I'm scared.
The 1933 Best Picture winner, Cavalcade. And the only reason I have that is because it was the one Best Picture winner when my wife and I were watching every Best Picture winner in order as a project that was the only one that wasn't available on Netflix or DVD. So I had to buy the VHS for like $5 on eBay.
Oh my gosh.
And I still have it. That's the only one I own.
So my parents, my dad was huge into Star Wars. Like, he used to sell the toys worldwide. He had a catalog and Starlog magazine, this whole thing.
And he once ate a can of pea soup out of a barf bag on a plane.
He did. This is my dad. And he's the biggest Star Wars fan. And so he has the original VHSs, and he has the original making of VHSs. He even has the VHSs before, like, the editing took place where they took out all the extra stuff and put in extra stuff. He's got, like, the original theater versions on VHS.
Wow.
And he owns multiple VHS players to watch these tapes. He also used to record, I don't know if you had this when you were a kid, but he used to record us like all the Christmas stuff on a one tape. So you just put it in and it was like Mickey Christmas and
Rudolph
and Gumby Christmas and, you know, whatever. I don't know if Gumby, actually, I think I made that up. I don't know if Gumby had a Christmas.
Somewhere there's a movie of Gumby wearing a Santa hat.
And then I don't know if you have ever seen, if you go look it up on YouTube, best thing you've ever seen. My dad has it on VHS, is Star Wars Christmas Special. It is literally the worst thing I've ever watched in my entire life. It stars the actual people from Star Wars, including Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and all the actual, you know, Harrison Ford and all of them play their actual parts. It is so bad. If you get a chance, go on YouTube and just take a look. You'll laugh for like, well, I think it's like 2 hours long, so you'll laugh for 2 hours because it's so bad.
Wow.
Even Chewbacca's grandfather has a sexual encounter on like a headset thing with some woman that's singing him music, who's a human woman. Like, none of it makes sense. Like, shouldn't it be like a Chewbacca woman that's giving him... Anyways, yeah. We're way off topic now. I'm sorry.
Jeff, hope that answers your question.
Next.
Carl from Sioux Falls, South Dakota says, how do you talk about an older show that you just started watching and don't mention Breaking Bad or The Wire in your response? And he didn't even know when he said that we were going to have talked a lot about Breaking Bad prior to this.
Oh, that's weird. How do you talk about it?
Like, he's just starting to watch, let's say, Coach from the beginning.
Oh.
All these years later.
I did this with... Remember, I just talked to you about this with Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Because you had said, I've already watched... And I said, really? I never watched them all the way through. So I went back and started watching them. But I think people just... On certain shows, they remember this stuff.
Yeah.
And Coach, I did watch a lot when I was a kid. But I don't know that I could say I watched it all the way through and remember everything.
Well... let's say that that's what he's watching right now, and he wants to kind of talk to people about it, but he's embarrassed that he missed it the first time around. Maybe that's too far off. Maybe he's thinking something that was popular like 3 years ago.
Like, what was popular 3 years ago?
That's
not still running.
Breaking Bad, The Wire. Wait a minute.
Dang it!
He
took all the good stuff from
Dexter. Let's say Dexter, even though that ended terribly.
Like Dexter's Laboratory?
No, Dexter.
I actually never watched that.
Oh. The first four seasons were awesome, and then the last four were just awful.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Don't watch it beyond four. But
Lost. I never saw Lost, never. I haven't seen a single episode, don't even know the concept, have no idea what it's even about.
So you come into work, let's say you're binging it now, and you go into work when you do go to the office, and you start talking about, oh my God, Lost, you guys. And everybody's going to be like, Bart, that ended several years ago. You're stupid.
Yeah,
How do you handle that? You want to talk about it with somebody, but...
I would find someone who that was, like, their favorite show. Because, like, I know, for instance, with you, I know that, like, Simpsons is big. I know that Seinfeld is big. I know that Curb Your Enthusiasm is big. I know The Office is big. There's a lot of shows with you I know I can... go to. So if I hadn't watched those shows, I would find that friend that I knew was big into it, and I'd start talking about it with them. Because I feel like they'd relate to it more and be excited about it with you because they were excited about it. And at the same time, if you're that other person, isn't it so exciting when you get to like show someone to watch like a movie or something, and you get to, even if you get to watch it with them, like with Breaking Bad, I know we're not supposed to mention Breaking Bad, but I sat down with my parents and made them watch like the first season, and I watched it with them, and it was so exciting to see like their reactions on everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of fun. I love doing that. Normally, I'm the one who's being told shows to watch. I'm rarely the one recommending them to people. But when you do, yeah, that's a blast.
Yeah. So that's, I think, you just got to find that friend that's really passionate about it.
Okay.
Hopefully that answers that question.
We got a couple more here before the show is over. Bart, what's next?
Tom from Austin. How do you check your own breath to see if it smells?
Well, I think most people just like put their hand right in front of their mouth and kind of like do a deep... breath into it and try to catch it in their nose.
But what if your hand smells?
Oh, that's a good point.
Or what if your hand smells good? Because you know that sometimes you wash your hand with that soap and it's like the cinnamony kind or the pumpkin kind. By the way, your burp just smelled.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to smell it and then you go, my breath smells like pumpkin, but it might not. I think if you can taste it, that's bad.
I think that if it's even a question, it's probably bad. Like, God, are people going to notice that I just ate that turd off the ground?
That's a good point. Just take a freaking Altoids and get over it.
If it's even in your mind that it might be bad, Tom, I would say that it's probably bad and just deal with it right then.
I agree.
Tom had another question. He said, how do you pretend like nothing really happened when you stumble walking down the street? How do you play it off?
So I feel like both of these things... Okay, I guarantee you what happened with Tom is he was stumbling down the street and a cop checked him to see how much alcohol he had been drinking and his breath smelled. And he wanted to know how he could check it before the cop checked it.
That makes a lot of sense. These questions are back to back.
Yeah. I know. And he reversed the order to try and trick us.
Well, what? There's something there. Okay.
So how do you pretend like nothing really happened when you stumble walking down the street? What would you say?
I mean, most people are going to play it off and just kind of hope nobody noticed and just continue walking with a straight face. I saw somebody, not completely related, but I saw somebody just absolutely blow over a curb in a parking lot today. Just plow over it in their car, just up and down. And I looked at the look on their face and they were just playing it off like, nothing happened. Just straight face. I'm like, dude, you almost rolled your damn car.
So that's not walking.
No, it's similar though. Like, how do you play it off? And to me, I wouldn't play it off. I would actually do it the exact opposite way and oversell how badly I had stumbled. Like, I would, if I felt myself stumbling and I knew that people probably had seen it, I would continue to stumble even further and like flail into the ground or bang into something, Kramer style, and then hopefully get some people's pity as a result.
I would break into dance. If I stumbled over something, I'd be like, you know, breaking into dance and be like, yeah, that was part of my dance.
Just start moves. Snapping your fingers.
Yeah, I'm not much of a dancer, but I'd be like, yeah, I was doing a little dance there for you.
Nice.
That's what I would do. Oh, we got another one.
Yeah, Tom actually had one last one, and this will be the last question of our show today. We're getting a little short on time. Tom asks, how do you tell a stranger they have a tag sticking out of their shirt or missed a loop of their belt?
Well, with the tag out of the shirt, I'd just go, hey, did you just buy that shirt? There's a tag sticking out of it.
Well, what if it's just like the little tag in the back, like that sticks out all the time? Not like a store tag with a price on it, but that little... Because the real tag thing actually happened to me a few days ago, and somebody pointed out, you know, you have that sticker on your shirt there with the big XL thing.
Did they say it in a nice way? I mean, how did they say it?
I mean, they were very, like, hey, by the way, you know, you've got that sticker on your shirt that says XL, and I'm like, oh, that big vertical sticker I'd peel off.
So it didn't make you upset?
No, I was very glad that they told me, and I would think that anybody would be happy to be told, just not in front of a big group, right?
Now, would you maybe creepily just stick the tag back under their shirt to the stranger that you don't know?
No, I mean, that's again like the George Costanza thing, right, where he goes up to the Mr. Grandmont and Sid Farkas's bar, or his office, and like, just starts feeling your fabric or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want to do that. I guess, I don't know, for me, I'd just be nice like your person was and be like, hey, you got a tag sticking out of the back of your shirt. But the missed belt loop, that's tougher because now it depends on where the belt loop is.
Yeah.
And you're either looking at their frontal side or their back side. If you get lucky, maybe they missed the belt loop on their side, which you're okay with. You're just looking at their hip. But if you're looking at their front or their back...
Yeah.
What do you do then?
Hey, excuse me. I noticed you're missing a belt loop right there above your penis, sir. Didn't mean to be looking that direction, but...
I know it's probably because you have a giant penis and it was really tough to get those pants together, but you missed a loop.
Yeah, the loop, I probably just don't say anything. I think that's weird.
But this is how do you tell a story? Because what if you're, like, compelled?
I'd probably just go up and tap them on the shoulder. Excuse me, ma'am. Oh, God.
Why is it a ma'am now? Why did it go from a guy with a penis to a ma'am?
We have to appeal to all audiences here.
Right, but now you're taking the easy way out.
Excuse me, dude. Hey, bro, man. I'm only saying this because I'd want somebody to tell me if this happened to me, but... you're totally missing a belt loop there, dude. It looks ridiculous. I would say, you know, I would want someone to say this to me. I would preface it with that.
I would go, oh my God, love your belt. Where did you get it? And then I'd say, hey, oh, I think you missed a loop.
He's going, I got a Target off the clearance rack.
Yeah, I found this off a dead body in some guy's yard who hasn't taken his Halloween decorations down yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'd just start with the compliment. Yes. I love your belt. Where did you get it? I want to get one. And then when they tell me, then I'd go, oh, I think you missed a loop.
Oh, shit. This hasn't been recording. Just kidding.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, if we have to redo this, I'm going to have to get another bucket of beer. Yeah. Oh. So is that it? Is that the whole...
That's the show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. How to Do That, episode 3, has come to a close. Hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, I think as we drank more, we got more into it.
Funnier.
Yeah, and we just want to say again, we appreciate the common interest allowing us to have this private back room. That sounds weird, but it is a private back room for karaoke. They have these for rent if you ever want to come out in Austin, Texas. This place has been here since the 70s, I think, yeah.
Yeah, you want to bust out a song right now? We got this room for free, after all.
Yes, we could. And just to mention one more time, our sponsor, Table.Delivery,
mm-hmm.
get $10 off with the code SWEETUMS, SWEETUMS. Make sure you get some food delivery. We might order some food right now as this podcast ends.
Yeah, absolutely. And 188th Street Creations of Carpenter, South Dakota, they'll go ahead and do a state outline of your choice. Some sort of crafty project. You'll just have to ask them more what that means. Just use the coupon code PODCAST for 20% off. And I guess signing off from How to Do That podcast, this is Ryan Glanzer and Bart Kristoff.
Great talking to y'all.
So long.
Ask Ryan and Bart how to do that, how to choose things, how to react. Two real smart guys will tell you how to do that, how to do that podcast.